Hello and welcome to the Rigori podcast, the show that lasts just a little bit longer than Joseph Nonge did in Napoli against Juventus. I'm Giancarlo Rinaldi. I'm joined as always by my cousin Marco. He loves the pizza, he loves the pasta, but he does not love Patrick Cutrone. Marco, how are you doing?
I'm okay. Not delighted with how results went this weekend.
But, we'll get to that. Don't give the game away to listeners about how miserable you are just yet. So a busy weekend. We're recording on Monday night. This normally we're after Sunday night, and certainly Sunday night's game was a bit of a cracker, and we'll get to that in due course. But plenty to chat about. Recording ahead of Inter Genoa, so that'll probably be like a 12-goal thriller. But, I mean, one of the big talking points from the weekend, I guess, was referees once again were in the eye of the storm. Three sent off in Milan against Lazio, and then Fiorentina, Torino as well, referee coming under fire for being a bit too much of a protagonist in that one. What did you think, Marco, the Milan-Lazio one? I mean, Di Bello, of course, has previous on this. He was the man that failed to spot one of the most obvious penalties of the season when Dan and Doi was tumbled in the box out against Juventus. And again, given the three reds, Lazio certainly were up in arms about this. I mean, it looks on first evidence that they had a strong case, but do you think they did?
Well, I was going to say, I don't think that they did have a particularly strong case. Not about the cards, at least. I thought Pellegrini was an idiot, frankly. You know, there is a thing in Italy where they still, despite the rule being you play on unless the referee blows the whistle, there is still too many teams in Italy think that you must kick the ball out. And I think he deserved his red card, frankly, for what he got.
He certainly did on what he did. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is, I think we'll get to this with the Fiorentina Toro one as well later, whether the referee should have intervened sooner. But yeah. You're right, though, that there is this thing where it's a sort of unwritten law that if somebody lies down, but then it's used so often to spoil play, yeah, to break things up, that, you know, and once the man was passed, certainly he hauled him to the ground. I mean, I saw he posted sort of sarcastically saying, you know, next time I'll just blooter the ball into oblivion. Well, I mean, maybe that is what he should have done. And then the other reds seem to be one for dissent. And again, Guendouzi kind of wrestling his man to the floor as well. It didn't seem to be a lot. But Claudio Lotito's not a man that I have a lot of time for or a lot of sympathy for. So that kind of limited things. I mean, when you see it on the surface, you think three red cards, oofed, you know, there's got to be something on the go. And as I say, Di Bello did seem to kind of let the game get out of hand. And I think that's maybe the issue here is the referee controlling a game. Because getting to my team's game, which, I mean, I'm going to keep it mercifully brief because it was a 0-0 draw that there wasn't a lot to say about. But what there was to say about it really was that, you know, Torino probably feel a wee bit hard done by. And this was another one where if the referee had maybe acted quicker, I had more sympathy with the Ricci that was sent off for Torino, because really, I don't know if you saw the incident, Marco, but he was kind of in a tussle with Arthur Melo. Melo kicked him and then he kicked back, but it was for his reaction. It was reacting to a thing where if the referee had just booked Melo straight away, I think he would have avoided his red card, whereas because he let the play run on, there was clear and obvious dissent that the referee could have avoided.
Yeah, I know, it's a difficult one, but at the same time, I always think, ultimately, that's still his fault. He's got to control himself, you know? So, yes, I think the refs, you know, you could argue he should have blown the whistle before Pellegrini pulled him back and all that sort of stuff, and that is true, but take that up with the ref once you booted the ball out into the stands or whatever, it not yanking down the man and stuff like that. So, yeah, I you know my view of refereeing in Italy generally isn't particularly I don't think it's particularly great. And so I've not got a lot of sympathy for the refs. But at the same time, when players do stupid things, then, yeah, I don't have much sympathy for them either.
No, that's true. And also, I mean, having said that, I don't have a lot of sympathy for refs. I do when it comes to the sort of point where I saw Mrs. Di Bello having to take to kind of the airwaves to defend her husband. And, you know, things do get out of control everywhere, but in Italy in particular, there's all sorts of conspiracy theories fueled by these things. And, you know, to me anyway, I mean, unless you believe that we are going through another great kind of conspiracy where referees are getting paid, I just think they're not particularly good. And, yeah, you know, and that's, and somebody has to, it is a thankless task. You know, if I watch football at every level, and, you know, you do feel sorry for referees that trot out on a Sunday morning for a kind of game to be abused for 90 minutes. And at least their abuse sort of finishes after 90 minutes, whereas if you're a Serie A referee, it seems to go on forever. You know, you're getting pelters and stuff that's extreme, you know, the death threats and this kind of thing, you know. And we need to, you know, pour a bit of cold water on that kind of thing, because, you know, these sort of things where Lazio's Twitter, I think, posts a picture of Di Bello with a red card, you know, you're stoking, you're fanning the flames. And I think clubs and presidents and everyone involved has a duty to kind of cool everyone's jets on these things a bit, you know, because otherwise you will get some hothead that gets out of hand and does something stupid, and feel sorry for referees in that regard anyway.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously that's a fair point, and no one should be getting abused after the game but about anything, really. But I do think that there has been a lowering of standards of refereeing for a number of years in Italy, unfortunately. And obviously that means that frustrations will boil over when poor decisions are made or not made, as the case may be. I mean, even in the Napoli-Juve game, the penalty that was missed, that was eventually given, I wonder, like, how did the referee miss that? It's almost like refs have become a bit too reliant on VAR to make their decisions
I don't know. I mean, because he crouched down and he made a point of looking right through the, you know, he did look like he was looking right at it. But, you know, I suppose it only takes an instant to miss something like that. You know, there's a lot of legs there. And to be fair, when I saw it on television, I mean, maybe you spotted it straight away. And I did think the dynamic of it, I thought, they're going to have to go back and look at that, because why would he, I mean, I know he's in the penalty box, he would fling himself to the ground, but, you know, why would he go down quite so much? And why, you know, the dynamic of it did suggest that something had gone on, and the way that they protested afterwards. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, as I said, hard to see. There were a fair few players there, but you're right. When they're able to spot infringements that are much more minuscule than that, it does make you wonder when that one was pretty obvious. Yeah. But we'll get to the Juve in a minute. But I wanted to take you to the, obviously, you know, this is the Rigori podcast, so the big game of the weekend for us was Verona against Sassuolo in the relegation battle, and a win for Verona as Sassuolo took on their third coach in a fortnight. I mean, everything smacks of despair and disaster at Sassuolo. They sacked Dionisi, they brought in Bijica for one game, a 6-1 scudding, and now they've turned to Mr. Sunglasses, Davide Ballardini. And, you know, I mean, I think he's been a busted flush for quite some time. So I'm consigning Sassuolo to Serie B already, alongside the fact that, and I mean, this is terrible news for Sassuolo, terrible news. Well, I'll let you decide how terrible news it is for Italy, but Mimmo Berardi out injured, looks like Achilles tendon thing, is going to be 10 months on the sidelines was the last thing I read. I mean, two questions for you, Marco. Are Sassuolo as doomed as I think they are? And two, how big a blow is that for Italy to lose Berardi?
Well, yeah, to answer the first question, yes, Sassuolo are definitely doomed. I mean, Berardi was probably their only hope of fighting their way out of the mess that they're in. but you know, we've mentioned it a few times on the podcast this season. They have always been a team that have been capable of sort of highs and lows, but this season it's just been lows, unfortunately. So I can't see, as you say, Ballardini turning things around there, especially not without Berardi. So yeah, they look pretty doomed, and especially because as well, some of these teams at the bottom, to me, seem to be building up a little bit of a head of steam, and you know, Verona being one of those teams. I think they are prime candidates for relegation, unfortunately. Berardi, you know, obviously feel really bad for him. Any player that has that sort of injury, you worry that they won't ever get back to what they were. He's always been a player that has sort of, he's never quite reached the levels that you thought he might be able to. And, you know, he often was linked with moves to Juve and stuff, never ever came through. And obviously that seems unlikely now. For Italy, I've always largely found him pretty frustrating as well. And not just because of that miss against North Macedonia in the playoffs. He is capable. He's a player that is capable of doing something amazing. But that's kind of why it's more frustrating. And often he would disappear for Italy in a lot of games. So you want Spalletti to have the best players to pick from. But would he have been a starter? I'm not sure.
No, that was exactly the point I was going to make. He would have been a good joker to have up your sleeve, a man to come on for 20 minutes and potentially do something mercurial to turn a game. But now, you know, Italy won't have that and Sassuolo won't have that. And as you rightly said, the teams around them, Empoli were on a bit of a charge, although that, you know, but then Cagliari winning, that boosts their prospect. Verona came out of the bottom three with that win, and just all the teams around them seem bad, other than I'll make an exception for Salernitana, who I think are completely doomed. And I mean, I saw at the weekend that apparently Boulaydia refused to come on for Liverani, so there's another disaster for him. That's just been, you know, from hero to zero for Salernitana with Boulaydia, that, you know, he was the main man last season, and this season, just for whatever reason, if his head's maybe been turned by transfer chat or whatever, I don't know, but I mean, they look in a pretty forlorn position. But the teams all around just keep picking up points, you know, Frosinone, Lecce, these teams just keep picking up points, and that's pretty disastrous as far as it goes for Sassuolo. But having left the big game, one of the more minor fixtures of the weekend was on Sunday night when Napoli played Juve, and I mean, you've alluded to one of the big instances. I mean, I actually thought, you know, this podcast been plenty of times stuck the boot into Juve for being dull and pretty poor, but I actually thought they probably would come away from that game feeling a bit hard done by. If Vlahovic had his shooting boots on, surely they would have won.
Yeah, he had a hat-trick of very good chances by his standard as well, in the first half alone. So, yeah, you know, it was a good game, and it was nice to see Napoli as well playing better than they have done this season, in terms of going forward and stuff like that. So, Juve probably were quite unlucky to lose the game. I think they didn't deserve to do that, really, but yeah, it was maybe a glimmer of hope for Napoli fans, I think
you saw, I mean, Kvaratskhelia scored a lovely goal, a little bit fortunate with a deflection, but a good contact. And then, you know, from an Italy standpoint, it was nice to see Chiesa score as well. And then this, I wanted to talk to you, I mean, I mentioned it in my intro, Joseph Nonge. He was brought on in the 76th minute, he gave away the penalty that ultimately decided the game, and Allegri hooked him before full time. I mean, I felt sorry. He's an 18-year-old boy. What lesson do you think, if any, he'll learn from what Allegri did to him on Sunday night?
Well, yeah, I don't know what the lesson that he's trying to teach him at that point is. You know, it's always going to be difficult coming on in a situation like that at that age, and you know, I suppose Allegri is trying to make a point that he can't do things like that, but it seems pretty a pretty harsh decision, and I don't think it helps players develop particularly if you're doing
that. Yeah, that's what I think, is that, you know, at that age, you know, I mean, almost different if it's an old pro, although you're humiliating them as well, you know, to these things usually is, I mean, unless there was a wider tactical issue that, you know, he came on and just didn't do whatever he was instructed to do. I mean, I guess that may have been the case, but it just seemed so much like punishment for, as I say, you know, it didn't look like it was a terrible, it looked like it was an accidental foul, yeah. Really, you know, he did catch Osimhen on the ankle, but, you know, it'd be interesting to see just how much opportunity he gets in the time to come. And the other thing which I think that game showed was the importance of following in a penalty as well. Don't think I'd seen any team quite charge in like Napoli did on that one. I mean, it seemed, and they timed it to perfection as well, because I have to say, as they were celebrating, I fully expected VAR review to come in and say, you know, they had encroached, but when you saw the replay, no, they hadn't encroached. All they'd done was like set off from almost the halfway line on a charge that was timed to perfection, and Raspadori caught it just well enough to put it into the net. So it was a lesson in what to do when if you're not sure that your colleague's going to convert a penalty, then make sure that you're following up and time it to perfection, I guess.
Yeah, no, but, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Enough of top division chat, though. I mean, again, another one that I mentioned in my intro. Big, big game in Serie B. I mean, it was a weekend where I noticed that, well, seven teams that are at the bottom of the table, none of them got more than a draw. And, you know, at the top end, the big match undoubtedly was, say, Mola TV's finest, Como against your Venezia, and it ended in heartache, Marco. But was it deserved heartache, or was it?
Well, I have a slight conviction to make, because it was my birthday yesterday, so I didn't actually see the game.
Right,
I only watched the highlights package and read about it in the aftermath. But from that limited perspective, admittedly, it didn't look to me like we deserved to lose the game. You know, Tezman hit the bar with what would have been a fantastic goal from about 40 yards. Zampano hit the bar, and then Marco Olivieri, with 2 minutes left, went back, reverted to form, and missed from 2 yards out what was pretty much an open goal. And then we were punished by Cutrone at the other end. So
that was a good finish, Marco. Even you must admit that was a good finish from Cutrone. He did catch it quite nicely.
He hit it nicely. I don't know, I'm still critical. The keeper didn't even move. Like, I would have thought, if you're a goalkeeper, at least try and save it. But anyway, that's me being overly critical, probably. But it looked to me, though, that our defence still... Como had a few chances before they opened the scoring, and at times they sort of, it looked like they had walked through the defence. And I do worry, you know, he has converted to three at the back, at centre-backs. I think because he's worried about the pace at the back, and sometimes if teams can time it right, it's very obvious that none of our defenders are particularly mobile. Yeah, hugely frustrating. And then even more frustratingly, Cremonese got a winner in the 95th minute as well. So
it wasn't all bad news in that game, though, was it? So Dennis Johnson got a red card again.
Did he get sent off again?
Yeah, the curse of the Rigori pod, yeah. Since he's left, he's been sent off twice. I mean, I don't know if he was ever sent off in his time with Venezia, but since he's gone there, that voodoo doll you've got of a gangly Scandinavian winger is paying off, because you stuck another needle into him, so he'll be suspended probably for a couple of games, I would imagine, since he's picked him up in quick succession.
That at least is some good news, I guess. But no, I find it frustrating. I don't know if it says something about our lack of a bit of a lack of character or something, that we've lost these big games in the last minutes of these big games. Whereas, you know, if teams that are going to do something, you feel, are going to get those late goals to win the game, which is what Parma have done a couple of times, including against us. Como have done it now. And, Olivieri did it for us last week. But we were quite good in the head-to-heads against our rivals in the first half of the season, but we've been pretty poor against them in this half of the season in terms of results, at least. So, you know, there's still 10 games to go, I think. So there's still every chance. But there's, yeah, and we do play Cremonese still at home in April. So,
and your key man, your top man, is in back in banging form at the moment as well.
Yeah, Julian Palo is undoubtedly, you know, the best striker in the division at the moment. So that's a huge plus. Our defence is a huge minus, unfortunately. So it's more, can we score enough to make up for that? But, you know, with these games, I think it's always important to bounce back. We're playing Barry at home. If we can get a win against them, then last week's result, sort of the pain eases quite a lot, because I think in the course of things, Como aren't going to win every single game for the rest of the season. So, yeah, we'll wait and see what happens. I'm not, perhaps because I didn't suffer through it for 95 minutes.
Maybe that's it. Maybe you should stop watching them. Exactly. I sometimes think that about Fiorentina as well, that, you know, if you don't watch them, maybe the pain is diminished right enough. I suppose you don't get the sporadic joy that you get.
No, exactly. Already, it's probably good for my dad that he didn't, because I can imagine what his reaction would have been as we hit the bar twice and then Olivieri misses something in the 8th minute only to lose the game.
Yes, yes, that would not be good. I don't think in any sense would the reaction be good to that. But as I say, I feel that there is a kind of dividing of the ways happening in Serie B one way or another. I think there are teams now that are just starting to separate a bit at the top. I mean, there's still, because the playoff places go down so low, it does mean that, you know, even teams that are pretty far down the league can have hope. But I think there is a sort of gap there, or maybe the top 5 and 6 that are starting to look just that bit better, you know, without enormous consistency, but enough consistency to see we are the strongest teams. And it's just the big thing for Venezia, obviously, will it be an automatic promotion places they would love, or will it be the torture of the playoffs? Now I imagine listeners will all be hoping it's the torture of the playoffs, because then they can get, you know, more extra bonus editions rather than just an automatic promotion place. But we'll be here following that epic journey all the way. I know we've got at least one regular listener who's a Barry fan, so they'll be well geared up for tuning in next week to hear.
Hope to make them cry next week.
Yeah, that's right. Hope to get them switching off, because that's what we like to do to our listeners, is rub their noses in it and make sure they never tune in again.
Exactly.
But if you're up for that, if you like that kind of thing, and you're willing to put your kind of emotions on the line, then please join us again next week. We'll be back in the normal slot, I would imagine. Because, you know, even Marco can only have one birthday in a year. And please let people know how the quality of this programming and how much you enjoy it, and let others know about it so that they can join in. And we'll be back next week with more of the same nonsense.
Yep. Speak to you then.